With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Recording.
Yay!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. We are Two Black Girls, One Rose, a Bachelor Nation podcast where two black ass girls invade possibly the whitest show on earth, The Bachelor. My name is Natasha.
My name's Justine.
And we're your hosts for the show.
Woo!
Okay, I guess we'll, like, introduce who we are.
Yeah.
Introduce who we are and, like, our relationship to the Bachelor world.
Yeah.
So, because we are very different in our...
We have very different relationships with the Bachelor.
Like, almost polarizing.
Yeah.
So, I've been watching the Bachelor since season one. Like, I very well remember watching... I had to look up his name because I remember his name, but this ugly-ass dude, Alex and Michelle, whatever. But I remember watching, like, the very first season. I don't know if I was, like, 7 or 8 or whatever. Like, it came out, and I was like, this is so cool. And this was during a time where there was so... Do you remember there were so many dating reality shows? Average Joe? Joe Millionaire?
Joe Millionaire, I remember.
Yes!
Yeah.
This is a time where there was, like, wow. So many, like, love competition shows. And I watched... This is probably one of my favorite genres of television.
Is dating reality TV
is dating
shows.
Reality shows.
Okay.
Like, I made a list. I've watched Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love is
a classic.
Shout out to New York.
I watch Dating Naked is on VH1. Like,
you're
not
crazy.
Currently. That's a solid show, Justine. It is a solid show. And they have, like, real love. There was a marriage from that show.
No, there was not.
Anyways, I watched Dating Naked, Beauty and the Geek. Do you remember that?
No! What is that?
Oh, come on.
Beauty and the Geek.
Do you remember Next on MTV?
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, on the bus.
Yes.
And, like, the guy would walk off the bus. They're like, Next! Get the next person. I watch all of these. My current favorite, like, outside of the Bachelor world is Are You the One
mm-hmm.
on MTV. You already know that's, like, my jam.
I do already know, but I don't even understand all the mathematics that go into that show.
Are You the One?
Yeah.
There is some strategy involved.
A lot.
But it's such a good show.
Okay.
And there also is real love on that.
Despite
the fact that these people are, like, 21, 22. Anyways, I digress. Okay. Back to The Bachelor. So I've been watching since, season one. I love just this whole franchise, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I've even watched Bachelor Australia.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in Australia for a time, so I'm very attached to Australian things. But I watched, like, the first two seasons. I watched their season two, which was a black bachelor, which is just ridiculous because
there are... And what year was that?
That was maybe, like, 3 years ago.
Wow.
Bachelor Australia season two. It wasn't that long ago.
Jeez.
First of all, in Australia, they don't have no black people, period. And so the fact that they found one and made him the bachelor before we even had Rachel is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I had to watch that. And I've watched Bachelor Pad, I've watched Bachelor in Paradise.
Bachelor Pad?
Bachelorette. Yes, that was before Bachelor in Paradise, my love. They were competing for love and money.
Oh!
Yeah, it was like a shit show. It was like Big Brother. They were, like, living in a house. It was like Big Brother slash, like, The Bachelor, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
I've watched Bachelorette. I'm going to be watching the upcoming Bachelor Winter Games. Like, I'm, like, fully invested in this fucking franchise. I don't know why.
In Bachelor Nation, you're a member.
I'm a member of the Bachelor Nation. Like, yeah. I think I do it, at this point, it's, like, out of obligation. It's something I'm so used to watching that it's just, like, part of my TV routine. I also just love the drama. I think the producers masterfully edit the shit out of the show and create drama out of nothing, really. It's just basic white bitches in a house fighting over a basic white-ass man. And for some reason, I'm just like, this is the greatest thing ever. It's just so dramatic. And I tune in every damn season. And also, like, because the show is so damn white, like, I always have to look out for, like, the black people who are on the show. Yep. So I get invested in them as well. They never last that long, but I have to see, like, how far they go. And so, yeah, that's my interaction with Bachelor. I'm fully invested in this world. I follow all these people on Instagram. Like,
yeah.
Get at me. We can have a whole chat about The Bachelor, because Justine, I'll let you talk, because you're new to this world.
So, I literally have only watched, before Rachel's season, I would watch the last 2 to 3 episodes of most seasons of The Bachelor, just because the women would go so crazy that the drama was at its highest point.
But you didn't even know the people.
No, it didn't matter.
Because, like you said, blank ass white people. It just doesn't matter
who it is. It's like craziness. At that point, it doesn't matter really your personality. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always one kook, like Corinne.
Yes.
There's always some girl who's like madly in love with him who's definitely not gonna win.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can tell immediately almost
before
Rachel's season. But yeah, I only watched the whole season of The Bachelorette because Rachel was black.
And so that's when you tuned in.
That's when I tuned in.
I roped her into this. Yeah. Now she's doing a podcast about The Bachelor. See what friends are for? You joined my crazy.
Now I have like 3 Bachelor husbands.
Yep, you do.
3 reject husbands.
Yep, you do.
I don't know where they are.
You're fully invested. You watch their Instagram stories.
Oh, yeah. Fully invested into it. I follow a couple of them on Snapchat, too, which is shameful because I'm doing double content.
That's a lot, girl.
Terrible. But the other shows that I would watch would be like Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of Different World. But then I have some shows that are pretty shameful, like Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Where you do have some interaction with the Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants.
Ah, so you've gotten to know some people.
Some of the winners.
Okay.
Or, in some cases, some of the losers. Because I know there was a young lady, I think her name was Melissa, and she lost.
Okay.
And then immediately got on Dancing with the Stars. Really? And if any of you all know, Dancing with the Stars, that chick is better than any chick of any Dunkin' Donuts, Fab Fit Fun Box, okay? Any of these sponsored things is better than that chick. So we were very happy for Melissa. So that was my kind of interaction with the Bachelor world. And now I'm doing
on
a mic. Don't really know how I got here, but Bachelor Nation, I'm here, I guess.
I love it. I roped you in.
Yeah, this she got me.
We're actually on your bed right now.
Yeah.
Yep. Wednesday night, 10:30, recording a podcast about The Bachelor. So excited.
And that brings us into why we're doing this at 10:30 on a Wednesday night.
Why are we recording? Why are we creating a Bachelor podcast?
Right. And it's really because we didn't hear our voice in the space. I know Natasha's pretty invested into all the Bachelor podcasts and Bachelor media.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, the Bachelor Nation media and the voices that are talking now.
Mm-hmm.
And we think there's a gap and a space for us and some people who need to hear our commentary. And we were also looking forward to a lot with Rachel's season that we didn't get, that we didn't receive.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to get it from ours?
No, like, we're hoping, no. We're just hoping to maybe make a little influence.
Yeah.
You know?
I echo everything Justine says.
Nice.
I listen to a lot of Bachelor podcasts. There's a lot out there. There's the bajillion. They do recaps. They do interviews. Like, they're generally really funny. And I just like to, after watching an episode, I'm like, let me just tune in to hear, like, what other people's thoughts were on last night's episode. It's, like, something I listen to on the subway, like, going to work or whatever. But just as the Bachelor Nation world is very white, the podcast world of the Bachelor Nation is also very white. And I feel like with Rachel's season, and I wish we almost started this podcast like with her season, so we can really give our thoughts. But with Rachel's season, there was like one other like Black Girls podcast that I came across. But other than that, like, I've listened to podcasts talking about Rachel's season, and I feel like they were just like missing things. They weren't getting like the Black perspective or like different nuances. Like, I wanted to hear them like dissect the Black guys and like the thought, like their interaction with like Lee and like all the different things. And like a lot of that was just missing because of the nature of who was giving the voice to some of this commentary.
Right.
And so, yeah, I agree there's a gap. I think also just in general, I mean, just in general, media, television, film, like, it's just very white-dominated. Mm-hmm. Mainstream, like, media is very white-dominated. White characters, white creators, white stories. You know, as Black women, we're not reflected that much on screen. I mean, there's some new stuff coming in.
Yeah.
But I think particularly in, like, the reality world space, there's not that
definitely
much
I would for us. I would definitely agree. And if it's if it is, we're in a segment. We're only in Atlanta.
Right. We have Atlanta.
We got Atlanta. And maybe some parts of Chicago. Thanks, Oprah, so much.
Oh, it's like, right? So, yeah, we're not reflected all that much, but yet we're, in a sense, we're forced to watch everybody else's white-ass show. So, like, my Black ass is so roped into The Bachelor, even though I don't even see myself in the show. So, you know what? You guys are going to listen to my damn commentary. I'm going to provide my colorful ass commentary. I'm going to watch The Bachelor and provide my commentary from the Black female lens. And I also know that there are many other Black women out there who love and watch this show like we do. Yeah. And maybe they turn to Twitter and like tweet with other people, but they might not have so many friends in their lives that, like, watch it with them.
Right.
But you guys can tune into our podcast. And listen to it with us. Recap with us every week.
That's who we'll be. We'll be your Black friends who are sitting with you watching the show.
Watching the show.
Yeah.
So this is our first episode. It's kind of just like an introduction to us. And we're also going to talk about some things. So, like, the agenda we're going to talk about. We're going to do a little recap of Rachel's season. Since we sadly decided to start this podcast after season ended, we're going to just, you know, feed into our own desires and do a recap of Rachel's season. We're going to provide our thoughts on Ari. So Ari's season's coming up, which is...
I literally have nothing to say. Literally, I don't have anything. How do you pronounce his last name? Do you know?
Girl, I have no clue. I just always say Ari Ludinsky, like, Jr. I really don't know. I should learn. We should learn.
Yeah, we should give him that respect. YouTube it or something.
Find out how to pronounce it. But so, yeah, we'll give our thoughts on Ari's season, and then we'll give, like, our hopes just in general for the upcoming season. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Ari is not our choice of Bachelor, but...
Absolutely not.
We gotta do this.
Speaking of our choice of Bachelor... Yeah. I mean, we'll get to those later.
Okay.
We'll get to those.
Rushing along this
week. I know.
So let's get into, like, let's do a little recap of Rachel.
Okay. So, for Rachel's season, I mean, I just really felt like it was Black History Month that whole time. You know? Like, I really felt like I was just, it was that celebratory.
It was.
It really was. It was a and big deal. Natasha and I had this very special ritual every Monday.
Yay.
Where we would go over to each other's houses. We would alternate houses. And whoever would bring a bottle of wine. And we would sit there and recap the show. Sometimes until like 1 in the morning.
Yep. The episode was, what, it's like 8 to 10?
Yeah, 8
and
to 10.
I would be like catching a Lyft or Uber at 1 a.m. like, bye girl! And we literally from 10 to 1, we're just dissecting the episode.
Dissecting, yeah.
God.
Most of the time, my mom would call. You guys are probably going to meet my mom later on.
Yeah, Joy.
She's pretty kooky, so you guys are going to meet her later.
She's part of this Bachelor world.
She is. She's definitely part of Bachelor Nation, more than I am.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who would rope me in at the last two or three episodes. She's a lot.
Joy's commentary, you guys. I can't wait to have her on the show. Joy's commentary on... It could be just specifically Rachel's season, just the trash mess that was happening
that
season.
Yeah, maybe.
But she is very entertaining.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear what she has to say about Ari's season.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
And she's not a typical mom. She's a cool mom. She's
a cool mom. She definitely is.
Oh, boy. And as two black girls who are, you know, educated, Natasha has all the education.
We
had really high hopes for Rachel.
We did. I was very excited. As someone who's been watching this show for, like, the better part of my life. Every season, I'm like, okay, this is the year it's going to be a black bachelor, a black bachelorette. Like, this is the time. And literally been doing this my whole damn life. And so finally with Rachel, I was extremely excited for seeing the opportunity to see a black woman, like, fall in love and, like, have these suitors fighting over her. So I had high hopes for her. And then...
But also, I had high hopes for her and the viewers because she wasn't physically a safe black woman.
Nope.
She was pretty dark.
She was dark
as far as, you know, the spectrum goes, dark especially
skin.
For...
She had a weave. She didn't have natural hair, but...
Oh, yeah, girl. No, like, we a long way a away from natural hair.
With the weave.
Yeah. She had a weave. She was Southern as well, so that's another, like, safety. But as far as the way she looked, she had a gap in her teeth. And she was a lawyer. She wasn't, like, a dancer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something that people are just used to seeing black women portrayed as.
Right. She was a strong, educated to the T.
Yeah.
Her father was a judge. Like, she really... They pulled out the stops, which is something we can talk about as well. Like, she had to be a perfect black woman for them to give her the slap.
Outside of the physicality.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything had to be, like, lined all the way up so people can, like, digest her. But yeah, I was very excited when they announced her.
So pumped.
And then her season was just marred with so much controversy. The producers just trashed the hell out of that season with the racism foolishness and, I don't know, like, just casting Brian, which...
Casting
which
Brian!
We'll get to. We are clearly not fans of Brian, but having this dumbass on the show. So wasn't it 100% the season we hoped for?
Mm-mm.
And Rachel, in the end, pissed me the hell off, so she didn't end up being the bachelorette I hoped for.
Yeah, I'm still burning.
Still just waking up seething... over the fact that... Okay, I can't even get into it.
I know. Well, speaking of casting...
Yeah.
I would like to get into the fact that Rachel had a history of dating black men.
A history.
Yeah.
She had never... From what I remember her saying, outside of her season dating Nick Viall...
Yes.
That was, like, her first white guy she brought home. First, like, serious white guy. She has a history of black men. Yes.
And the men who were on the show... Just, I don't feel reflected what Rachel would have wanted, what Rachel deserved, and were just so corny. Like,
not all of them.
I mean, not all of
the black
them.
Men, or
yeah,
all of them?
No, the black men.
Oh, so we're talking specifically about the black guys. Okay,
people.
Gotcha.
The black men.
Corny would be the word, yes.
And corny, it was just horrible how corny they were, most of them. Like, the fact that, like, they really put a wrestler on that show. Like, that man puts on a mask and goes shirtless, covered in baby oil. And they thought that he would date Rachel? Yeah. Why would they think that?
I don't understand. And, like, to be fair,
Kenny's very nice.
Kenny's very nice. Single dad. Like, had a great storyline.
Yeah.
Really genuine guy there for the right reasons,
yes,
they say.
Right.
But the wrestler's not gonna win.
No.
The wrestler's not gonna win. I'm sorry.
And Josiah, I need you to stop selling them suits. I need you to stop selling those suits for black men.
Josiah, he's on Instagram selling suits now.
He's still on Instagram selling suits. They're like the young Steve Harvey suits. Remember when Steve Harvey had suits?
Barf. Barf.
Yep.
And Josiah's another, like, I had high hopes.
High hopes.
Similarly for the season. I was like, we have a black woman. Okay, so there's going to be, like, 25 guys, a good 18 of them got yes. the black. Like,
yes.
And then, no, there was, like, 10 or 11. Like, it was still a fairly white majority cast.
White, yeah.
And then the black guys they had on there were, like,
yeah.
Like, we have Eric, who is our love. We love the shit out of Eric. Justina's, like, beside herself
right
now.
I could fall over right now just thinking about
Eric. We love some Eric. Diggy, I really enjoyed Diggy.
Oh my God.
I wanted to see more of him. We saw him in Bachelor of Paradise.
Okay.
But on the show, we didn't get too much of Diggy.
Yeah.
Fred.
My other love.
A huge hope for Fred. I love Fred. He did not get a fair chance at all.
But Fred also didn't stop crying. But
Fred,
we'll get to that later.
Fred also was a weirdo. Which we can definitely get into. So there's some gems, but there are also some whack-ass people. Josiah was whack. Will. Whack. Demario, like, we'll get, like, just whack as hell.
Oh my God, terrible.
So, yeah. The hopes were just slowly diminishing.
Yeah.
With Rachel's season, which in general, I overall enjoyed the season, but, like, it was just a weird one for me.
I definitely enjoyed the season.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that even without the kind of, like, racism clash stuff that they had in there, they could have definitely had a solid season outside of that. Like, there
was
definitely
saying.
No drama.
They brought in so much nonsense with Mario's girlfriend Lee's racism stuff, and without all of that, it still would have been a solid ass season, even with the whackness that was there.
Even with the whackness,
whack ass guys that were there,
that
they
was
pulled something out.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, so still going with Rachel's season because we can literally talk about this until the end of this week. I can recap this for the rest of my life. This is gonna be my job, just talking about Rachel's season. So moving along, we're gonna go through some highlights of the season. Let's start with episode one.
Yeah.
My boy Blake K.
Oh my God. Blake
K. What's the word?
I'm still pining over Blake K.
Pining over Blake. So for those of you who don't remember, and you should if you are about this life.
Yeah.
Blake K was our beloved Asian American U.S. Marine hottie.
Yeah! Hottie! From Hawaii, right?
From Hawaii. And from Hawaii. Like, let's throw that in there. The state of Barack Obama. He was from Hawaii. Blake, we loved Blake from the minute we saw his casting photo.
Yeah.
And my dude Blake went home on episode one.
Terrible.
So Rachel was already pissing me off from then.
When she picked Doo-Wop to Doo-Wop, what was his name? what was that?
I was like genuinely like, what? Waboom.
Waboom. When she picked Waboom over Blake K.
Blake went home. Blake made it. He didn't even make it past the first night.
I wanted to see more of Blake.
I really want to see more of Blake.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah. I don't know if it's about that a highlight. Or
no, it's
like
a low.
A low point of the season.
It's a low point.
I still follow Blake on all social media networks. I'm so invested in his life now because he didn't get the shine that he deserved.
Yeah.
Next highlight.
This is definitely a highlight.
This is for sure.
This
highlight.
Was messy.
This is a mess. Demario's girlfriend.
Scrunchy.
Girlfriend in quotes, because
who knows who that is?
We don't know what that is. He's saying that she was a girl he met on Bumble, that he, like, smashed a couple times.
Yeah.
She's claiming she was a girlfriend title and, like, met the family almost. Anyways, the producers just came with the mess and brought in Demario's, whatever this girl's was, girlfriend, confronted him, confronted Rachel.
Yeah.
Just slid her on in and did a whole Jerry Springer segment of an episode.
It was like that. It was like Maury.
It was literally watching Maury.
Oh my God. I only remember her scrunchie around her wrist. She had like
scrunchy.
A deep forest colored scrunchie.
Around her wrist.
Like she was really going to pull her hair back and like start fighting. Like, I don't really know what she was going to do.
What was she wearing the scrunchie for? I didn't think about that.
You use a scrunchie to like wash your face. You use a scrunchie
what?
If that.
Wait, what?
If
hold up, A hair scrunchie to wash
your face? No. So, like, tie your hair back while you're washing your face.
I was like,
You thought it was a cleansing tool?
Yes. I'm this beauty skincare guru. I'm like, I didn't learn about this scrunchie thing.
Technique? No. Okay,
yes. You put a scrunchie in to tie your hair up.
To tie your hair up when you're about to do something at your house.
Right.
You don't bring...
In the public eye.
Nah.
Homegirl had a scrunchie on her wrist. Like, she was about to wash her face. Basically. And then just went in and ripped into DeMario.
Yeah.
Rachel was... I think she was pissed because she just... I'm like... She was looking at the producers like, y'all really did this.
Yeah. Yes.
Y'all really brought this girl on here and are doing this right now on my season.
Right.
Like, why? And then on top of that, DeMario, tall, good-looking black guy. I had high hopes for him. Even though he got on my last nerves on the first episode because he was just talking so damn much.
You know, good-looking is relative.
Good-looking is relative. He's not my type, personally.
Yeah.
But I see his appeal.
Yeah.
Like, DeMar would be, in the general consensus of the world, people would call him a good-looking.
Yes. Right. Okay, yes. I'm with you, yeah.
Tall, I don't know if he did for living, but seemingly successful. And then...
Yeah.
So, probably, people look at him and think he's probably a front-runner. Yeah. And then they just bring up this mess in.
But you know what? It really showed his personality, and it showed his, brains, because I remember he was really trying to negotiate with Rachel, who was a lawyer.
Right. He came back and tried to get back on the show.
Yep. He tried to get back on the show. He tried to, like, you know, lie about his relationship with this other girl and all these things. Like, nah, her father's a judge. She's a lawyer. You just tell the truth. You hope she accepts it.
Exactly.
And you leave.
Yeah,
you don't, unless you're a lawyer yourself, but even then, nah, you don't mess with a black woman scorned. An educated black woman who scorned.
A lawyer black woman who literally deals with liars for a living.
Right?
What are you doing, DeMario? I can't.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, that's bye.
DeMario. And then the next episode was my beloved Fred.
Fred!
My Fred
in childhood.
I was going to say sweetheart,
but they... No. She was the camp counselor.
She was the camp counselor, but they weren't that much older. Like, their age gap wasn't that crazy.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
So, I don't really know. She was, like, really hooked on him being this, like, bad little kid, and she always thought of him that way. And I think she just really, really wanted a man who took control, and Fred was, like, too... much of a puppy that was in love with her when he first looked at her.
Yeah.
And I think it was really off-putting for her.
Yeah.
Now, Fred, you can holler at me anytime. With that
Fred,
same puppy love look. Come on over. Anytime in New York, at me.
Yeah.
Slide them DMs. But, yep, this week three, Fred went home. This was a very sad week.
Mm.
And he also cried at the reunion Men Tell All special. Yeah, well, he got, like, choked up.
Fred,
and all the guys were like, man, it's okay, man. I was like,
oh my God. I can't.
You were in Cuba living your best life.
Cuba, yeah. Fred really did himself in when he asked if he could kiss her.
Oh!
That was, like, the highlight, really.
I forgot about that.
He asked her, or he said, like, can I kiss you now?
Yeah.
She was like, what? Her face was like, you have to ask me? And did she actually kiss him or did she say no?
I don't know. I don't remember that. I tried to block out
he
any physicality between the two of them.
He went home with the swiftness after that, though.
He was in that Suburban, like, damn.
Like, pronto. She walked him out and was like, yes, so what you're not going to do is ask to kiss me. And then look, honestly, look who ended up winning. Brian. Who mauled her face on episode one.
No permission,
like, literally assaulted her face.
Yeah.
She loves that.
Yeah.
So Fred never had a chance.
I mean, who doesn't, though? I don't know. That sort of, like, aggressiveness, I think it's kind of cute.
Brian's aggressiveness?
Brian's aggressiveness, because
we won. I'll take that. I was riding for Brian after that episode. I was like, ooh, this guy can get
it. Yep, definitely.
And then...
We'll get into that later.
But I will definitely take that over Fred's, like, very timid. Yeah, that's, like, ugh. Whack.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, what, episode three? Remember?
Episode three, yeah.
Moving along with the highlights. Lee was a thing. Not talking about him.
No, we're not doing that.
Not doing it.
We're not doing that on here.
Next! Will. So Will, this might not be, this is a highlight for me and for us.
Yeah.
For some people watching the show, they'd be like, who's Will? They probably not remember Will, because he was kind of unmemorable. But Will's ultimate whackness, Will, for those of you who don't remember, is the black, tall, good-looking black guy.
Yep.
Who just felt so inclined to reveal that he's never, his last few girlfriends were all white. Like, he's never really dated seriously a black girl.
Yeah, he's never seriously dated a black girl. Yeah.
Just really felt such a need to tell Rachel this on their one-on-one date.
Yeah.
I'm still just, like, don't understand what strategy he was going for. And Rachel's looking at him like, I don't understand what strategy you're going for.
With the same look we had.
The same look we had. Like, what are you doing with this?
I think all black girls watching have the same face. Like,
And then, I mean, and then his, I don't know. I understand people, I don't think he was saying he has, like, a preference for white women. I think he was saying more, like, circumstance of where he's, like, lived, gone to school, whatever, whatever.
So that's the excuse, right?
That's the excuse.
That's the excuse.
That was what he was coming.
Because you go to the town over, and you can find some black women.
That's true. If you really search it, you find somebody.
Not even search. If you just go to the town over. I really believe that. Yeah. In most places where black people reside, I don't remember where he was from, but I don't remember him being from, like, West Virginia.
No, yeah.
You know?
He was from a city.
He was from, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
North Carolina or something. Like, right. You could find some, like, you could find them.
So he probably had a preference.
Yeah.
Which, okay, you have preferences.
That's fine.
Why are you saying this to a black woman on a date? You're trying to win her. Why are you revealing that? Like, that was just the ultimate. And just as, see, Rachel was coming through here, because she sent him home also with the swiftness.
She did!
She was like, okay, this one-on-one is over. The limo's waiting for you outside. Nice knowing you.
And my highlight for that was, in particular, has nothing to do with Will, but when Eric was trying to explain it to Dean.
Yes. I forgot that, or that moment of the episode, yes.
It was adorable. Dean, who is, like, 18, I don't know, he's really young, but he was like, well, I've never dated a black girl before, and Eric was like, right. But you aren't black.
Yeah.
So that's why.
This is why this is a conversation.
That's why it's a conversation. Because it's okay if you haven't dated one. Because you're also very young. And you are not of the same race. But it's concerning to Rachel.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, wow. Okay. Dean learned a lot.
Dean grew the hell up on the show.
He did. It was cute.
Yeah.
It was cute.
But yeah, I totally forgot about that moment.
Yeah. It was one of my favorites of the show.
Teachable moment for Dean.
It was.
Why it's odd that Will has never dated a black woman, yet is on here trying to marry one. And then feels the need to tell her, like, oh, I can't. That he's never dated one. Like, just the ultimate whackness.
Yeah. Yep.
Bye, Will. Next. I don't know if this is, like, next or what episode this was, but Adam and Matt went home in the same episode. Everyone was wondering, who the fuck is Adam and Matt? Who actually are they? They made it to the top five, right?
Yeah, top five.
They were dude four and five. No.
No.
Six. They were dudes five and six.
Yeah. And then neither of them got one-on-ones.
Neither of them got one-on-one. Yeah. Neither of them got any camera time.
Nope.
Rachel broke up with both of them and was sobbing. And all of America was watching, like, so what was that guy's name again?
Why are you even crying?
Why is she crying? Like, what? I remember Twitter was blowing up, like, hashtag who the fuck is
Matt.
It was a big thing. And I was like, I was along that path. And also just really perplexed as to why the producers did it in that way.
Mm-hmm. And just in the editing room.
Yeah, why did they choose to edit it in that way? Like, create two guys who no one had any attachment to them whatsoever. Yeah. And yet made it to the top six, meaning that Rachel had genuine feelings for these guys.
Right.
And then also, they were both on... So I watched Bachelor in Paradise as well. Both of them were on Bachelor in Paradise. We got to know both of them very well in Bachelor in Paradise. Both of them pretty solid dudes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
solid ass dudes. Adam ended up the end with Raven, who's like a Bachelor Nation.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Whatever, queen. I don't know. She
No, Raven's very cute.
She's like, yeah, she's very cute. She was bottom two on Nick's season. So yeah. She's like a Bachelor Nation, like royalty, I guess, in terms of like their hierarchies or whatever.
Royalty.
Yeah. There's like a thing.
I need to learn
There's
this.
Like a hierarchy, like, of like the cool Bachelor people, and there's like a whole. Can get into that until a later episode.
Yeah, break it down for you. Yeah, we could do it.
But Raven's a part of that, like, the in crowd, I'd say, of right. Bachelor World. And Adam, who everyone from Rachel's season was like, who the fuck's Adam, ends up with Rachel. So he's clearly like
Raven.
He ends up with Raven. Yes.
Wow.
So he's clearly like a stand-up dude. Yeah. Matt, Bachelor in Paradise, he had a whole thing with crazy ass Jasmine. But he also, I liked him on the episode, or on Bachelor in Paradise, so... Yeah, another highlight of Rachel's season. Who the fuck are Adam and Matt?
Yeah, that was a good one.
I don't know what's happening.
Because he laughed, but then everybody was crying. It was interesting. It was
very
fun.
Interesting.
It was a fun time to be on Twitter, for sure.
It was.
Speaking of fun times on Twitter, hometown episodes.
Hometowns.
Now, the hometowns are fun. Peter's was fine. Great. Parents were nice. Mm-hmm. Brian's was very interesting. His mother was totally out of control.
Mm-hmm. Brian's mom's was nuts.
Literally Jane Fonda and Monster-in-Law.
Mama Dukes was nuts.
She was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Obsessed
but
with her son.
Nothing, like, unusual. Nothing that we haven't seen before. You know, nothing too, you know, out of the box. And then we get to Dean's house.
Oof.
Full of people who need therapy and just aren't.
Yeah, that was the saddest bit.
It was so sad. It was heartbreaking. And also just so puzzling. His father was a Sikh. Is a Sikh.
He's a wife as well.
And a wife.
Both
who is
both Sikhism?
Nope. I'm not even going there.
I know. I don't want to get this right.
But just any white man to me who chooses to be any sort of minority is crazy. Why would you ever choose not to be a white man? That is the optimal
in
choice.
Your truth and power.
Like, it's the optimal choice. Just go with that. Why not? Why are you choosing to make life hard? So I thought that was very odd.
Yeah.
And it was all centered around some very extreme grief that they were all going through for the past, like, 10 years.
That's the weirdest bit.
It was very odd. Nobody really accepted it. And Rachel was there like, so, I'm Dean's girlfriend and also two other people's girlfriend. No big deal. Here's some cameras and let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It was very invasive, I felt.
Very.
And very exploitative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the producers knew that Dean had a very weird family dynamic.
Yeah.
They knew that his dad was Sikh and this would be, like, a jarring thing for the audience to see.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make a joke of it. Like, I'm glad they didn't, like...
Yeah, that's true.
They could have edited the shit out of that and made his dad look nuts.
They
but they respected his religion and respected, like... And Dean as well, like, made a point. I remember on, like, Twitter, Instagram, like, people were like, oh, my God, Dean's dad, like, in the preview.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted, like, look, this is my dad's choice. This is his religion. Like, please respect it, whatever. But, yeah, it was very, like, invasive. Because clearly there was just, like, so much beneath the surface with, like, the grief of the mom.
Yeah.
And, like, the dad, like, getting this new wife and throwing himself into this new religion and, like, completely neglected
and
his son. And culture.
Yeah.
And, like, has not resolved things with his son, which one would think would be the priority.
You would think. Your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hadn't talked in, like, 2 years, I think, and then he just showed up at his house with mad cameras.
Mad cameras, a girl.
And some black woman, like, hey.
Yeah, hey.
Nah.
Here.
And then the sister and the brother, I remember, were pretty numb.
And also had a very weird dynamic with Dean.
Yeah.
When
yes.
They also didn't need to be there.
Yep.
I remember distinctly when Rachel went outside to talk with the sister for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
They had a little moment, a little whatever. She was talking about Dean and, like, crying and, you know, talk about their family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel goes inside and was like, oh, yes, I just talked to your sister. Dean says, oh, what did she say? Or said, I don't know if he said those exact words, but he said something along the lines where I was like, damn, he don't fuck with her neither. This is deeper than we thought. Yeah. Like, this family is not what we, I mean, we already know it's not what we think, but even, like, him and his siblings, like, don't have that relationship either. So I was like, all of this is just very bizarre and uncomfortable for me.
And it was the same episode where Dean said that he was in love with Rachel.
It was the same time he told her he was in love.
So sad.
And then got kicked to the curb.
No, you gotta go. You gotta go. You got that whole family and you expected what?
Yeah.
What did you think? Oh, we went to Eric's hometown too, which was really, really cute and like so black. And they like cooked for her and like they were all like dancing and snapping and like listening to Frankie Beverly. So that was always like very cute as well. We don't want to leave out Eric.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dean had to go.
Dean's hometown was an ultimate highlight of
this season.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
An ultimate highlight.
Yep.
All right, so after the hometowns, like Dean went home. Mm-hmm. Then Eric, our love, also went home. So sad. Love Eric. We love him to bits.
Yeah.
We knew he wasn't going to win.
Yep.
He was not even in the competition with Peter and Brian, like, whatsoever. But it was great watching his journey of love as well.
It was, because he said that he fell in love for the first time. Yeah. He took someone home for the first time.
Yeah.
He has mostly women in his family, so that's, like, a really big deal when you bring somebody home.
Yeah.
During the last, I would say, 4 to 5 episodes, Natasha and I were fighting, truly, because those Bachelor castings went up.
Right.
And we were like, if it's Eric... is on and popping.
So this was before Ari got announced. And it was still kind of speculation. And I remember, what did you say? I was dying. It was like, if Eric gets announced, you're like, it's on and popping. Like, kale only.
Kale only.
And that's what you said.
Like, kale only.
Between now and casting, like, kale only. We both got at least, like, smooth 20 to 35 pounds to drop.
Like, bitch, like, meet me in the limo with your Fashion Nova outfit on and your full-blown weave with your Remy, your Yaki.
Oh, yeah. I'm jumping
in bundles.
Up real quick. They ain't gonna cast me with this afro.
Nah, bundles.
Oh, my God, bundles.
Bundles. And we'd be fighting to the death. But luckily, we're here on this podcast.
We're on this podcast. Yeah. No fight was had.
Yep.
Because... Eric was not announced.
No.
Sad times.
But Eric, another one, holla at me if you ever hear.
That, yeah, we might have to fight. If we're going to go.
No,
Eric, bitch. Like, you do these little sly on the low, Eric call me. Nah, we're not doing that. Let me get mine in, too. That's it. I hate you.
Oh my God.
Moving along, Eric went home, and so it was time for the final.
The final two.
Showdown. The actual love of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I love me some Eric, but Peter is my everything.
Yeah, he's your husband.
He is my full-on husband.
Yeah. Yep. I believe that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah. I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
And then he is up against...
Joanne the Scammer, as I like to call him. Okay, I don't even like to refer to him by his name. Brian.
Final showdown, Peter and Brian. Brian, Peter, who's she gonna pick? And they edited the shit out of that damn episode. Yeah, had me really thinking that Peter might, I mean, Peter might pull this out. Like, Brian, as much as I didn't like him, I knew that he was a front runner from the get. Because the way she looked at him was so different than every other guy. But her connection with Peter just felt so deep because they had so much. I feel like they just went through so much trials and tribulations. Like,
she put him through a lot. All of his dates were like, first of all of his dates were something free, which, Rachel, you ain't low, bitch, okay? You buy out here buying $10,000 watches for Joanne the Scammer, right? Hence why we call him that.
Yeah.
And yet, Peter, there's like no car. They gotta walk.
They're walking in parks and stuff.
And they're walking in parks, walking in churches, lots of church dates.
They did have the best date of the season, though. That dog sledding
episode,
that shit was bomb. They were, like, on a mountain in the middle of, like, in the middle of the mountains, in the middle of the snow, like, the two of them on a sled, and it was just beautiful.
That's super cute.
But anyways, besides that, yeah, he had some whack-ass dates.
He had the whack-ass dates. He even had the whack-ass honeymoon suite with, like, two twin beds. He didn't even get a full bed. Like, he had, like, just whack shit.
Gave him the set up.
They really did.
Really did.
So they went through a lot.
They went through a lot. But nonetheless, like, I feel like she had a very strong connection with Brian, like, off the bat, like, physically.
Yeah.
But with Peter, they really had a strong, like, he was a challenge to her.
Yeah.
He really was a challenge. Brian was, like, the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, he signed up for the show knowing that he was gonna marry this woman at the end, regardless of whether it was Rachel or not.
Yeah, right.
Peter, on the other hand, was really like, no, I need to get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm here, yes, to, like, meet someone or whatever, but you might not be it.
Right.
So, we need to get to know each other. Like, he really challenged her and was a realist, which is why he didn't do well on the show, because this is the Bachelor world. This is not real life.
Yeah.
This is the Bachelor world. There is a certain type of guy that wins this show. Brian fits into that type. Peter is not. He's too real.
Yeah. And for him to be so real and make it to the final two.
And he told her from jump, like, look, I might not marry you at the end.
Yeah.
I might not marry you. And he let that known, and she hung on to that carrot because she loved her some Peter, and she really wanted to be the one that he would choose. Like, it was really about him choosing her.
Yeah.
She really wanted to be the one that he would choose in the end. And didn't work out so well for Rachel, let's put it that way.
Yeah, you know what? Because we're not gonna slander Peter on this show. This is not what we do.
Peter, no. It didn't work out well for Rachel. He did not choose her. He didn't choose her. She didn't choose him, I guess, in the end. But really, they were choosing each other.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he went there, sure, whoever's gonna be, he's gonna come here for the experience to see if he meets and loves someone.
Mm-hmm.
But he really, through the whole show, was, like, assessing this person. Like, really assessing Rachel. Meanwhile, Brian was, like, in love with her from jump. And so, major highlights, their breakup.
Oh.
Was one of the most heart-wrenching, like, pieces of reality television ever.
Ever. Oh, yeah, in the history of reality TV.
Their breakup, their final kiss at the end.
Oh!
This girl was sobbing.
She was sobbing her lashes off.
She sobbed her lashes off. He had a whole, like, wet stain on his sweater.
Wait, by the way, their sweaters were matching.
they were wearing matching gray clothing, like, meant for each other. Rachel, what the hell? That breakup was just so...
That was horrible.
Sad.
Yeah.
Because she was literally saying goodbye to the love of her life.
Yeah, no, did it.
Like, actually.
Yeah.
She was saying goodbye to the man that she should be with.
And the reason why I say that she didn't pick him necessarily is right. because he was like, well, I'll propose to you tomorrow.
Yeah, and then she was like...
You know, if you want me to. Yeah. Like, I love you that much. I'll propose to you tomorrow.
Yeah, that was some BS, Peter.
It was.
Love but Peter, but that line was stupid.
It was stupid, but I mean, you were staying true to yourself, so I don't mind. Yeah. And,
I love him.
Yeah, exactly.
Stayed 100% him.
100.
To not conform to this BS...
Yeah.
...bachelor fantasy world that they created.
But my thing is, Rachel, if you living in the bachelor fantasy world, and this man is willing to jump into the fantasy world with you, with that absolutely disgraceful, horrific, hideous pear-shaped ring that you have, why don't you just...
What are you about to say? I was like, where is she going with this?
Horrific. Why don't you just... Why didn't you just play along and be like, alright, see you tomorrow.
What, with Peter?
Yeah.
Because she needed that certainty.
Ugh.
Rachel was not about to be on there at the end, and this guy was not going down on one knee.
Yeah.
She couldn't take the risk. Because he even said, as they're saying goodbye, he was like, take a chance. And she was like, no. And she started sobbing even more. You guys, I've watched this breakup scene. This is why I know the play-by-play, because on my downtime, every now and then, I just go to YouTube, just torture myself, watch the Peter and Rachel breakup. So I know this shit through and through. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he was like, take a chance. And she was like, and started sobbing. She's like, I can't do that because you're only saying that you want to do this because
a girlfriend.
Yeah. I'm forcing you. And I can't leave here a girlfriend. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So they both were very stubborn. They like stuck with what they wanted. Mm-hmm. She got what she wanted then. She got a man to marry her.
Yeah, she got K Jewelers to come over to Brian's room
drop off
a pear-shaped ring with two absolutely disgraceful triangles at the end of the pear-shaped ring as an accent.
What?
Rachel, I'm still mad at you. That ring is hideous.
That shit is whack.
You did this whole show to get that ugly ring. It's terrible. It looks like the ring that Carrie Bradshaw rejected in Sex and the City. That's what her ring looks like.
Oh, really?
When she threw up. She literally saw this ring and threw up on sight. That's how ugly it was.
Who gets a pear-shaped diamond?
Someone from 1985. They're terrible.
Brian, you ain't shit for that.
Yeah, no, you garbage.
Ain't shit. Peter would have never chose that.
No.
He would have chose the nice cushion cut with the round edges.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nice simple solitaire.
Yep.
Would have never done you like that, Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yeah, that was like the ultimate breakup, ultimate showdown, because the way they edited it, you really thought at the end Peter was going to pull through.
Yes!
Like, I remember even on the episode, because they were watching it live together, like Rachel was watching it live and whatever.
Right!
Oh, and I still was on the edge of my seat, like, so Peter's going to come out though now, right? Like, so Peter's going to run after her. Like, I really could not believe that this... Because their breakup is just so epic and sad. She was literally saying goodbye to the love of her life.
No.
I couldn't imagine it ending that way. And it did. And then the very next day, she went and accepted this wag-ass ring.
Not even 24 hours later, she was like, yes, oh my God, let's get married. Yes. To someone else?
To someone else. After you sobbed your life away with Peter. She would have never cried like that for Brian.
Oh, no.
She would have never cried like that for Brian.
No.
I can't see it.
Yeah, Brian knew the game.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, if Brian, but it would be interesting to see if Brian was like, nah, I don't want to propose. It would be interesting to see who she would pick.
If she at the end had two guys?
Had two guys who were like, eh, we don't want to propose to you.
That bitch would cry. She would just
She would just leave?
Yeah.
She would just leave them both?
Just leave them both, because that's what she came back for.
Yeah, that is.
Uh-uh.
She was similar to Sean Lowe in that way.
What?
Sean Lowe was like, I'm here to find my wife.
This is true.
Yeah.
We love Sean Lowe in this podcast.
Yes,
it's one
here.
Of our faves. But yeah, she came there, she knew what she wanted.
Yeah.
Peter like represented the man that I think she really wanted, but he couldn't give her the ultimate, which was that 100% security that they were going to be leaving their fiancés.
Just fiancés, not husband and wife.
Just fiancés. And literally are still dating.
Yeah. No, they just moved in 2 days ago.
Oh, they did? Okay. Mm-hmm. Which, even if she married Peter, they probably would have been on the same track. She really just wanted that title and that ring.
Yep.
Because what she's doing with Brian now, which is getting to know him, moving in, like, dating, essentially, is exactly what she would have done with Peter.
Yep. We're still so upset about it, guys.
Yeah, I'm still reeling and seething over this shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's our recap in a nutshell of Rachel's season.
In a nutshell.
We could keep going. We did that fast, too.
Yeah, we did. We
really did.
Yeah.
We just pulled out the highlights for y'all. Yeah, moving along, because while what we're here for is Ari.
Ari. The Dutch boy.
We are here for Ari. We have decided to do a whole podcast on Ari's season.
No, we're doing a whole podcast about The Bachelor. We're not doing a whole podcast about Ari's season.
But we're starting it off with Ari. Like, this is our Bachelor, Justine.
That's just our job.
We are doing this for, essentially.
I reject it.
So, Ari, guys. Ari is our Bachelor, our next Bachelor. So when they announced, let's just talk about the drama of who was going to be the Bachelor, first of all. Mm-hmm. Peter was born to be the Bachelor.
Yeah.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like the Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in his cast bio, you remember this?
No.
You're not a freak of nature like me. In his cast bio, he says, or I don't know if it was in the cast bio. Sorry, maybe I'm speaking too soon. Anyways, in his high school yearbook.
Damn, wow.
One of the things that he says is, like, dreams in life is to be on The Bachelor.
No.
I swear to God, just, you know, I'll pull up the picture right now. I never showed you this?
No, I never saw this.
This man was literally, he's been talking about this from Jump Street.
Yeah.
And I don't
10 years ago.
Yeah, like 10 years ago. Like, this is a thing that he's kind of like put into the universe.
Right.
And was like born to be. He looks like a friggin', I always say he looks like a Nordstrom's catalog model.
Yep, for sure.
Like, just a beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So there was speculation, like, is Peter going to be the Bachelor? Like, he literally is made for this, but can his heart take it? Because he literally just broke up with the love of his life.
And Rachel dissed him on that live show.
And then Rachel just really tried to put stop to him being a Bachelor with, what did she say exactly?
She was like, you aren't built for this. Yeah. She said some Lorianne Gibson ass, P. Diddy ass, making the band ass shit. Shit like that.
She did. You ain't cut out for this.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes.
Essentially.
And she said it like multiple times too. Mm-hmm. She was like, I don't think this show is for you. Yeah. I don't think this process like is for you.
Yeah.
Like really saying like you are not about to be the Bachelor and I'm not about to watch you fall in love with the other bitches. That's really, really like translation. That's what Rachel was saying.
Yep.
So there was like, would Peter be the Bat? Everyone wanted him, but we didn't know. Eric's name was floating around, but Eric, I don't think he had the following.
Well, I don't think we were ready.
And they're not ready.
And by we, I mean us two. Because I wasn't eating kale at that point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I wasn't ready. I wasn't at the tryouts. Like,
physically ready. Yeah,
yeah, I wasn't physically prepared.
In shape.
I wasn't ready.
Not mentally prepared.
You know, I remember my mom sending me, direct messaging me, his Instagram stories that he was in New York at the same time Good Morning America was on.
Whoa.
Where they were going to announce The Bachelor.
So you thought that maybe
it was him. So I thought it was him.
See, this is what everyone was doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, really watching the shit out of these guys. Because we had no clue who was it gonna be.
Yep.
Peter, Eric, their names were thrown out there. I also was still hoping for Blake K.
Absolutely.
Blake K, the Asian American U.S. Marine from Hawaii that we are obsessed with.
Yep.
Because what really had me thinking was when Mike Fleiss, Mike Fleiss, who, if y'all don't know, he's one of the main producers, creators, I don't know, of The Bachelor, who is heavy on Twitter. Just tweeting nonsense. And he put out a tweet like, you know, wait for it, guys. The next Bachelor, it's a historic announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Historic? I think it's going to be a black guy. It's going to be Blake K, the Asian. Like, that's historic.
Yeah.
And then they announce Ari. I'm just saying Ari L. Ari L. So, I knew who Ari was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I watched, as I said, I watched basically every season of The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Right.
I always watch the beginning, and then I always kind of, like, fade out sometimes, and then I come back at the end to see who won. So, I watched Emily Mannert's season. I remember Ari, but I didn't have an attachment to him. But But Ari's name, like, in the Bachelor Nation world, people always talk about Ari.
Mm-hmm.
Every year when they're about to announce The Bachelor, his name always floats out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, like, a bachelor, like, among the women of The Bachelor Nation. Not me, but these other women. They really ride for some Ari.
The fans, you're talking about?
The fans, okay. Yeah. People really love Ari. Like, from Emily Maynard's season, they're like, Ari should have won, or he should have this. Like, people... His name comes up every year when they talk about The Bachelor.
Odd.
Yeah,
okay.
People really love Ari. He had the whole thing of being, like, the kissing
the
bandit.
Kisser.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really see the appeal, but anyways, people were about
He was
that,
a fan like. Favorite.
He was a fan
he had that going.
Favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So, I knew who he was. Justine, did you have any clue?
I had not an inkling of who this man was.
There was a lot of people who were like, who's this?
Yeah.
What's that? They showed his picture. They're like, him? What?
Like, who is this?
Is it the historic announcement?
Oh, okay. My God. Mike Fleiss said the announcement would be in Hawaii. I was like, it is Blake.
Yes! It is another thing he did. He did that, too. He was like, The Bachelor, we're going to announce it tomorrow. I'm like, good morning, Honolulu.
Yeah.
I'm like, it is Blake.
Yep.
And nope. Then it was Ari.
Nope,
and they didn't
Ari.
Even announce it on Good Morning Honolulu or whatever he was saying. Just talking mess.
Yeah.
Anyways, Ari. So Ari, he made it to the final two
mm-hmm.
of Emily Maynard's season. So mm-hmm. he's, like, legit. She broke up with him before proposals.
Yeah.
So she
yes,
she did
she
what
did.
A lot of bachelor and bachelorettes do, or not really bachelors, but bachelorettes
mm-hmm.
will, instead of having the guy go down on one knee and, like, humiliate himself,
oh.
she'll go and break up with them before. That's happened a few times, actually.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. That's happened on a number of seasons. Like, mm-hmm. it was also on, what's her face? Andy Dorkman.
Yep.
She's
mm-hmm.
one of the, I think her name's Dorkman. She's one of my favorite bachelorettes, the lawyer.
Your last name is Dorkman?
I think so.
She's a dig who she can get. What?
And I could be making that up. It's Andy.
Okay. Andy.
So she broke up with Nick Viall, who this was his
Damn.
First run with The Bachelor. One of, like, 12
one
runs.
One of, yeah.
She broke up with him before he got down on one knee. So Emily did the same thing with Ari.
Mm.
And his reaction... My dude was, he, like, stormed off. He, like, heard her, and then he kind of just, like, stormed off. And
yeah.
was like, I don't know what to say to you. Like,
right.
I don't know what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of left on, like, bad terms.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Which, I mean, is understandable if when you break up on national television.
Pissed.
Especially because didn't Emily not have any, like, fantasy suite situations?
She didn't do fantasy suites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because her daughter was, like, in third grade.
And was, like, in the next room.
Right.
Her daughter was with her the whole show.
Yeah. Right. They were in their hometown.
So
yeah.
She was like, look, I gotta put Ricky to bed. I can't do no late nights with you. So we have till, like, midnight. And then I gotta go, bro.
Yeah. So he went that far. And then for her to break up with him for Jeff with one F.
Jeff
who was whack. I'm glad she didn't end up with him in real life.
Yeah. I didn't really have feelings for...
See, that's the definition of whack.
Yeah. I just didn't really know. I loved Sean. Sean was like...
Love Sean.
Really loved Sean
yeah.
on that season. Ari was like, Jeff... I just didn't really understand. He was like from Utah, so I always think of just like Mormons.
Yeah. Weirdness.
So I'm already just like off put by this.
Yep.
And then he kind of had like a young hipster kind of vibe. Like, he came in with, like, a skateboard and was, like, kind of, like, cool and
yes,
hip.
That's right.
From the other guys. But it didn't feel like a natural cool and hip. It felt like this was, like, his persona that he, like,
yeah, that he, like, dressed up
year.
As.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, a startup, too. I think he was, like, a cool, hip startup guy. I don't know. I just didn't see it for Emily. And, like,
yeah.
He was, like, a Southern belle.
Right.
With a child.
Right.
Yeah, so Ari... yeah, got broken up.
Mm-hmm.
Peaced the hell out soon after.
Yeah.
Then on the after show, or after the final rose, I mean, came out still downtrodden
mm-hmm.
and revealed that he actually flew to Charlotte
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to confront Emily. I don't know what he was trying to do with
yeah,
that.
I don't know either.
Confront Emily, meet her. Like, he really wanted closure. Ended up chickening out, I think. Didn't,
mm-hmm.
like, actually go to her door and, like, knock on her door, but left his journal
with
behind.
Psychotic single white female ass messages in his journal. talking about his crazy feelings for her.
Feelings for her. But homegirl didn't even read the journal.
No, no,
he
came
on the after show with, it was still in its packaging. And his face, his face was like a little like, oh fuck, she didn't read this.
Damn.
But like, she's like in love with this other guy now. Like, what do you?
And she's a mother.
And she's a mother. She ain't got time for no drama and this.
And like, read extracurricular reading.
She literally has. She literally doesn't have the time
right
to sit and read your journal, Ari. Yeah. I'm so, so sorry. But Ari, he tried.
Yeah, he did.
He really tried. My other thoughts on Ari. Ari is, so as a profession, he's a race car driver.
Right.
Which they are really just, like, tuning that up with his, like, his promos that are coming up on the show with Emily. They, like, talked about his, like, race car driving, whatever.
Isn't his father a race car driver?
His father, yes. Because Ari's a junior.
Yes.
Ari, whatever, a junior. His dad is, like a famous NASCAR. I'm not really sure what they did. I'm always a little dubious of people in the racing world because NASCAR, if it's NASCAR, I don't know if it's, like, Indy 500 or what the difference with any of these, are very white.
No, they're only white.
Very southern. If you look at pictures from, like, rallies, people are flying that Confederate flag.
Yeah, no.
Like, waving that shit.
It's whiter than golf.
Yes, it is. Very.
Yeah.
And so, the fact that Ari is, like, part of this world, I'm already, like, on edge with this dude.
And he's going right after the black woman?
He's coming right after the black woman. Oh, they really... okay, there's, like, an analogy here. Mm-hmm. You have black-ass Rachel, and they follow it up with the whitest dude ever. Is this not similar to Obama and Trump? We're not going to get into this, but... Because I can't even go down that route.
Yeah.
So you have Obama, black-ass president, and soon after we get followed up with Trump. Like, these... Okay, I can't. I have to, like, reel myself in.
I know, it just got real deep.
I will take this podcast in a whole other direction. But just look at that contrast. Just look at that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yes, I'm already on edge with Ari. Mm-hmm. With just by sake of his profession. I don't want to judge people for their profession, but... I don't know. You went a very... For me as a black woman, a very scary world.
Suspicious.
I've seen pictures of these, like, racing rallies, and there's people, like, floating that...
All right, it's not a rally.
What do they call it?
It's just racing events.
Racing events? Isn't it called... No, it's rally.
It's a rally?
I think it's, like... You're going to that baseball game, you're going to, like, a racing rally. Okay, I don't know. I feel like I've definitely heard the word rally.
Rally?
As it relates to... If I'm going to, like, a race car... Not saying a race car game... Or a race car event. Isn't it called, like, a rally? I'm going to a car rally.
You know what? My father puts them on specifically to go to sleep. So I actually... Because that sound in the car is, like, buzzing.
Oh, my
God. It'll put you to sleep.
That's true. It is, like, white noise.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good one.
So, actually, I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm on fence about that. Other things about Ari. On Emily's show, his foundation never matched his neck.
You know what? Don't talk about his foundation. Because he didn't have foundation on.
I can't believe you bring this up. Justine, this bothered me the whole season. His face was forever a different color from his neck.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that is just his face. Maybe that could just be his skin.
I think it's just his
face. Then I'll feel really bad that I'm clowning him for that. But I feel like the makeup that they were putting on him, his face never matched his neck. That shit was not cool.
No.
He already, to me, is not that cute.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He's really not. His eyes are very close together. And it freaks me out.
And then he has the nerve to be beardless. Like, you guys, if you don't have a perfect structured face, you need a beard.
You need a beard in these streets.
Yeah.
You need a beard.
Like, start taking your omega-3s and start growing that hair, because no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that was terrible. But shout out to the makeup artists, Gina Madica? Madica? But she's the greatest, and she's been the makeup artist for a long time. And I don't believe that she would...
She's the makeup artist on the show?
On the show. For the girls.
For the girls.
For the girls. She was one of my main highlights of Rachel's season, because Rachel's makeup looked flawless for any of my beauties out here, any of my makeup dolls out here. I know you guys were looking for Armani eyeshadow number 13, that sparkly eyeshadow that she put on, that Chris Harrison even tweeted about.
Oh my God.
So
she does, so she gave Ari the ill setup, because
no, she did not.
Crazy. She needs to go back to the foundation matching school, because bring it back to Ari. School. That foundation was whack.
Ari, go to Sephora before you start the season.
Mm-mm.
Ari also was known for being the kissing bandit, as we said before. Yeah. But I personally think that Ari looks like how John Mayer sings when he kisses.
Which is what, like ugly face?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Doesn't he morph?
He does. His fit, because he does this whole... Ari's kissing to me did not look like anything. I was like,
I've never made out with him.
He kissed like very slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, sometimes you like slow and passionate and things like that, but his was like very slow.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was, like, he was very... trying too hard to be passionate.
Yeah.
And like pushing her against the wall. And then, yeah, morphing his face into like this slow.
This weird. I don't know, man. Weird duck face. It was not working out.
But these Bachelor Nation women, these Bachelor Nation white women, not mean, but they love their Ari, the kissing bandit.
Yeah.
They really do.
Ari was also messy. Messy boots.
Messy boots.
He dated a crew member.
He was messy, yes. Ari dated a producer, though. On, like, a current producer on Emily's season.
Oh, my God.
Like, homegirl was miking Emily.
Emily up.
They previously dated. It was, like, years ago.
Still, though.
He out here.
Yeah. He's another one who I think he... Similar to Brian, like, I think if Brian didn't marry Rachel, he would just be campaigning for the next Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just in it for the game.
Yeah, yep.
And I think that Ari was the same way.
I did get that vibe from Ari.
Yeah.
I didn't really trust him. One thing that I remember, I think it was during one of their one-on-ones, or maybe their hometown, or his hometown,
mm-hmm.
or her hometown, I can't remember. She was asking him, like, so what do you, like, how do you spend your time? Like, do you cook a lot, whatever, whatever? And he was like, oh, yeah, I go out for every meal. I, like, you know, meet up with friends and things like that. The life that he was painting for himself outside the show just sounded very much like a single guy who was not really looking for a mother with a child.
Right.
Like, I get it. Like, you're young, you're single, you go out with your friends, whatever like that. But just, like, the way he was painting the narrative of himself, like, how he spends his life outside of this mm-hmm. world... it didn't sound at all like a guy who was, like, ready to, like...
Conducive to her life.
Yeah, conducive to, like, cutting off the going out to eat and, like, meeting up with friends and living that single bachelor life to lay down with someone with some kids.
Right.
So, like, that alone, I was like, what are you on the show for? This don't sound right, bro.
Oh, my God.
I was on the fence about him from jump.
And he was in the running. 2013, he was in the running to be the Bachelor. Sean beat him out.
For Sean's season. Yeah.
And then also 2015.
He was also... I told you his name comes up every...
Yes. Every year, season. I guess. So, he has been on the Bachelor. He literally now goes out to events with a full head of gray hair. As if that shit is cute.
That dude is old.
Like, you look dumb.
He's 36.
Old.
He's not that old.
He's 36. He doesn't look like he's 36, bachelor, though.
Nick Viall was pretty old. But he was great.
Yeah, Nick Viall.
I think Nick
good.
Was like 30, mid 30s, too. But yeah, Ari's old, man.
He's not that old.
He's not that old, but in the Bachelor world, he's old.
In the Bachelor world,
he
should have
been Bachelor like 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
Actually.
And he just looks old. Like, why are you looking that old?
Yeah, he does.
Terrible.
He needs a beard to help him out.
He does.
He really does.
He does.
2017. You, like, struggling. Just grow a beard out, man.
Yeah.
Begin, girls. yeah. Other thoughts on Ari, like, why I don't really trust him. And we're, like, sitting here just bashing the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
I realize
we'll start
that.
Liking him later on.
Yeah, we'll get into that, I guess.
Maybe.
Two things. Things that have come out since he's been announced The Bachelor. One. Jeff Holm. The guy who won
Emily's
season. Him and Ari were friends.
Okay.
Like, on the show and, like, after whatever. Jeff did an interview where he... Or I don't know if he did an interview. He put out a tweet where he called Ari disgusting.
What?
He said, I have not been friends with that guy for years. He's disgusting. I should pull up the actual tweet. But something paraphrasing. He used the word disgusting to describe a guy that used to be his friend.
Yeah.
And not like ride or die friends. It's like friend, you know, bachelor
still,
world friend.
You don't call people disgusting
right
in the world.
He called this man disgusting. So, and that's coming from someone who, like, knows this dude.
Yeah.
Like, rode with him. Like, so that, I'm like, I don't know what this Ari guy's like.
Yeah.
He seems messy or something. Second thing that came out in the news shortly after he was announced The Bachelor, his most recent ex did a whole, like...
She did an expose.
Expose. Mm-hmm. aired his ass out.
Yeah.
Long story short, it sounds like he broke up with her, like, very shortly before he was announced The Bachelor.
Yeah.
So, what are you... If you were already with someone in love, apparently, what do you go on the show for?
Right.
For love or for some other motive?
Exactly. Because she was expecting something totally different from their relationship.
Yeah. She made it sound like they were hunky-dory in love. Things were going well. I think they broke up, I don't know how often, like, before The Bachelor, but then, like, at no time he was announced. And she was like, wait, what?
And she found out with the rest of
the rest of the world. So she's like, were you on the phone with Mike Fleiss this whole 6 months? Like, arranging this shit? You have to ask the question.
You do.
So his motive's already, like...
Questionable.
Very questionable. And I think the Jeff Holm thing, Jeff calling him disgusting, like, saying, I have not talked to that guy in years, like, he's disgusting. That, to me, like, something ain't right with Ari.
Absolutely.
Something is, like, he's a funky dude on the low.
And Ari's last girlfriend, wasn't she 26?
And his last girlfriend was dumb young, too. Like, no. I don't know.
No, that is. That a 10-year age gap?
Mm-hmm.
That's a solid age gap.
Mm-hmm.
So, it makes me nervous for the women on the season.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's some babies on this season.
Yeah. Definitely gonna be some children. Speaking of, hopes for... Ari's season.
Hopes for the season.
What are your hopes for the season, Natasha?
So, we just started talking about age.
Yeah.
One of my hopes is that, seeing as he's 36, I'm hoping to see girls that are of, like, a viable age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I want to see nothing less than, and I know this is not going to happen, but I don't want to see anything less than, like, 28.
Yeah.
27, 28. Yeah. Dating a 36-year-old, like, grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Like, but The Bachelor, like, casting, they love to throw in, like, 23-year-old models and 23-year-old realtors and 23-year-old, like...
From Salt Lake City.
Yeah, from Minneapolis or whatever. And I'm like, I don't want to see a whole gaggle of 23-year-olds. I want to see actual viable women who are like, look, my eggs are cooking. Ari, let's do this.
Yeah.
So that's one of my hopes, is girls of a viable age.
Okay.
Also, I'm going to be looking for some women of color.
Yes, also on my list.
That's on your list.
Yes,
two black girls, one rose. Yes. You know what we're here for.
You know.
I'm going to count as many black girls on this show as possible.
Yep.
Or people of color in general.
Yeah, just people of color. No, we'll take anybody. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
After having a black bachelorette and venturing into the world of diversity.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the producers... Which, this is a stretch of a hope, because I don't have a lot of faith in these people in general, these producers. But I'm hoping that they will, you know, throw in some people of color. I don't know what else
to say. You know what it is? I haven't been in this world very long. I've only been here for Rachel's season. So my hopes and desires are extreme.
Mm.
I'm hoping for somebody with a hijab. Because everybody is out here with hijabs. Shout out to the girl who's got the Barbie.
Hijab.
Hijab, yeah.
A job. I mean, they do cast a lot of, like, models and aspiring this, but I would hope these girls had jobs. A woman with a hijab, you were asking a lot, Justine. You were asking so much.
I know.
What? I would love that.
I would love it.
I would love to see, like, real representation on this show.
Yeah.
You asking too much, though.
I would love to see a woman who is what America would consider plus size.
I would love to see some body diversity on this show.
I would love that, because I think it just keeps all the plus size girls in the fetish range.
Right.
Nobody is saying that plus-size girls are not sexually attractive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We're out here in Sports Illustrated. We're out here in advertising campaigns, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's still a fetish. I need it to not be a fetish. Yeah. I need to be like, I'm going to get down one knee and propose to you.
You know what? If the Bachelor producers, if they put a girl on the show, if they casted a girl who was plus-size, she would be the plus-size girl.
Yes.
She'd be the token. Like, how they, like, throw in a black girl here and there, an Asian girl here and there. That would be her thing.
Would she be the token, or would she be the... the canon. What do they call it?
Hmm?
When you're the first one to launch something.
Like the pioneer?
The pioneer! She'd be the plus-size pioneer. She would.
I guess.
She would. If she dressed right, she would.
She would dress right.
Can you imagine her on Twitter?
Yeah.
People would be following her nonstop.
They would. But I just hate that they would make that her...
her story, right?
Story. Like, her narrative. I could already see them, like...
Yeah.
Growing up, it was so hard being larger than the other girls.
Oh, my God.
That would
God.
Just be her
yeah.
thing, the whole... So, like, they would just play that shit.
But it's a real thing, though.
It is.
It's a real thing.
But I want them, if they're going to cast... women of diversity, or whatever the hell you want to call it, like, girls outside of the bachelor norm, which are,
right.
like, 5'10", 23-year-old white women. if they're gonna cat, like, I want them to just have them on the show. Like, don't make their race, their this, their that, like, part of the storyline. Just have them on the show.
Yeah. I would want the plus-size girl to talk a little bit about it, just because she represents the girls who've been through a certain... story, and for her to be competing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she's just up there in, like, a beauty competition in, like, Miss America.
Yeah.
She's, like, competing for a man.
Right.
So I would like her to talk a little bit more deeply about her relationships with men in relativity to her size.
Yeah.
Not as far as, like, growing up, everybody called me fat. Like, that's...
story.
That stuff is, like... I never get tired of hearing those stories, to be honest with you, because it's one of my stories. But... it's because it's one of my stories. Straight-sized people don't care about that or want to hear about that.
Mm-hmm. I just want to want her to be the only one. This makes me think of America's Next Top Model, season...
Takara?
Whatever. Takara!
Love Takara.
They hung her ass out to dry.
I know, but Takara's famous now.
Oh, she's huge now. But, like, it was so hard watching her season sometimes.
Yeah.
Because she was the only plus size. She was the first plus size, so she was, like, the pioneer. And they never had the right clothes for her on the set.
I know. That
she
was terrible.
Like, her self esteem at some points was, like, diminished because these other girls were killing it and whatever. Like, so I wouldn't want the girl, if they cast a plus size girl on the show, I wouldn't want her to be the only one. They would have to, like, commit to, okay, this season we're all girls of all shapes and
all
sizes.
All shapes and
like,
sizes.
It would have to be more than just the one.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I would love that. Yeah, I want more diversity of all types.
Yeah.
Not just race.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm hoping for some mess.
That they will deliver.
Yep.
They will deliver.
I know that.
Casting some crazies on
I don't know
shows.
About a plus-size girl with a hijab, but I know there's going to be some mess.
That. You will get some mess for sure.
Yep.
I want to know... We're not really going to get that, but, like, because honestly, on The Bachelor, the show is really about the girls.
Yes.
You never really get to know
the
person that well. Like, the
Bachelor.
The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
I want to see more of Ari's, like, personality.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know enough about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we clearly are not, like, huge Ari fans.
Right.
Like, we tried. We went back and watched the season.
No, we did. Yeah.
We follow him or whatever, but I'm not finding all that much good stuff about the dude.
Nope. It's more controversial than
anything. More controversial than anything. So, I just want to see a little bit more of Ari and, like, get to know him. Give him a chance. But yeah, we'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
The whole season to get through with this
dude. Yes, we do.
We do. And so we want to just let you guys know what to expect from us,
mm-hmm.
from Two Black Girls, One Rose,
where
two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth. I just love our tagline.
I know.
I had to say it again. I love it. So every week we're going to do, like, a recap of the episode and obviously give our thoughts and commentary. Before we jump into the recap, we're going to start off every episode with what we call the Peter and Eric update.
Yeah.
Justine will be recapping us on the love of her life, Eric. I will give a little, you know, just a little update of what's going on in Peter's life.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who really no one cares about us, for.
No.
I mean, there might be people.
No, a lot of people care.
But this is a segment that's just very selfish to us.
No, yeah, it is. No, it's just for us to update and make sure that our husbands are on the right track.
Yes. So we're going to do a little, we open up every episode with, like, a little initial thoughts of the episode and then do a quick Peter and Eric update. We'll touch on any Bachelor Nation news that's happening, any big things that we need to mention. And then we'll do a recap of the episode. And then, because we want to keep this spicy, we're not just going to do any recap. We also have some special segments that we're going to include in every episode.
Mm-hmm.
So every week we'll each be announcing or awarding our Becky of the Week. So, which basically means finding one girl in this cast who, by whatever definition we deem that week, we are calling her the Becky of the Week.
Right.
So
right.
So, you interpret that in whatever way you want, and we'll interpret it whatever way we want.
Right.
Every week. We also, every week, will be picking one person on the episode to get an invite to the cookout.
Woo-woo.
Who we would want to bring to come kick it with our family at the cookout.
Mm-hmm.
from the gaggle of white girls that are going to be on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, going to be a bunch of white girls, so we'll see who gets the invite
that week.
We'll see.
We also will be having a, what we call the Ari Can Get It moment, which might be a stretch.
Might be hard for this season.
Neither of us are attracted to this man, yeah. But basically it'll be a moment during the episode that we were like, ooh, okay, Ari.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ari, you can get it.
Yeah.
And so we'll each have a moment that we'll award for Ari each episode. And then at the end of the episode, we will also, or at the end of the recap, we'll also do... what do we call it? It's like a memoriam?
Oh my gosh, a dedication, a memoriam.
Yes.
To
any black girl or a person of color.
Person of color.
Who
yeah.
is leaving.
Yeah.
And so we'll probably be doing that for the first 2-3 episodes and then we'll be done because they never make it past the first 3. Oh god. And then before we close out the episode, we'll give our predictions and what to expect or what we're hoping to see from the next episode.
Right. And we're gonna be on every Wednesday. But starting in December, we're gonna be recapping all of the girls' bios, their photos, all of that stuff. So expect our first episode to drop in December as far as Ari's season goes.
Mm-hmm. And then the season premieres January 1st.
Yeah.
And every Wednesday we'll be dropping our episode. But in the meantime, we definitely want you guys to follow us on Twitter.
Yay!
Our handle is 2BLKGirls1Rose. So 2 Black Girls 1 Rose, but black is BLK.
Mm-hmm.
Our email, if you guys have feedback, questions, things that you think that we should talk about on the episode, email us 2BlackGirls1Rose. So it's the number 2BlackGirls1, the letter 1.
The number one, yeah.
rose@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, subscribe to us.
Yay!
Rate us, review us, give us feedback. We are doing this purely out of joy for ourselves.
Yeah.
But also we do think that there's an audience out there that would enjoy this.
Yeah, and we love to hear your guys' feedback, and it really helps if you subscribe and rate and do all that stuff.
Exactly. All right, that's the end.
That's the end, guys.
Episode 1, we did it. Woohoo! Yeah. Wednesday at 11:48. Good. I gotta go home. I gotta do it. What am I doing with my life? Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.